the concept is we got to work with everybody. And nothing's perfect, but we got to do our best to be fair to everybody.
Well, hey there, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast here from Prairie Public. What is on the beat this week, Danielle?
Well, I wanted to get into the issue of the Fargo-Moorhead diversion a little bit. We reported on that a little bit already this week. It might feel a little weird to be talking about flood control when everything is so dry and crispy out there right now, but this has been a project that's been in the works for a long time, and next year it will finally be ready.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. Now, I wasn't here during the 2009 flood, which, of course, was pretty dramatic and made a mythical figure out of Mayor Dennis Wallacher and the citizens of Fargo and Moorhead that saved the city, basically. Now, Grand Forks, I was there during the flood of 1997, and, you know, they developed their own flood control system, which works pretty well, involving a lot of flood walls, things like that. But after all this time, the Fargo-Moorhead area will finally have its flood control project ready to go. That is a massively big deal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for a lot of people who live within the city limits around here, you know, where we are, it's easier to not really think about it much because you can't really see the work that's been going on. But if you do venture out of town or you go out on the highway, you're able to see, you know, the overpasses that have been constructed, the control structures, just how wide and tall those diversion channels are. It's pretty incredible. And of course, before it ever got to the point where they broke ground in the first place, it took a lot of planning, a lot of engineering, a lot of legislating, and cooperation among a lot of different stakeholders, including landowners.
Yeah, absolutely. The private landowners certainly are feeling the biggest impacts of this.
Yes. So this week, I went out to a farm just outside of Horace. There was a news conference there with North Dakota's senior senator, John Hoven, Fargo's new mayor, Josh Boucher, and executive director of the Fargo-Moorhead Diversion Authority, Jason Benson, was there as well. And they were highlighting some legislation Senator Hoven has been working on to make sure those farmers upstream of the diversion are compensated for their cooperation during flood events. It's addressing crop insurance, which is a farmer's biggest risk management tool. So I'll have him explain it here for you.
Why do we have to address that? Well, it's because crop insurance is designed to address challenges that Mother Nature gives us, not man-made challenges, okay? And so it doesn't work when you introduce man-made challenges, meaning if water's backed up on this area, roughly 30,000 acres of prime farmland, give or take, if the diversion backs water up there and impacts those crops, that doesn't trigger crop insurance. That's not fair. That's why we have to address it.
Well, it seems pretty reasonable. If the landowners had to consent to this project impacting their business, there should be something in place to make them whole again.
Exactly. So what he's done is he's worked some provisions into the Senate version of the Farm Bill, and it's a two-part plan. Last year, they were able to pass legislation that directed $100 million to the Diversion Authority from the Corps of Engineers to be used as a cost share for this purpose.
What the Diversion Authority is doing is taking $25 million of that $100 million, actuarially calculated, to cover those losses, which they will then pay to the farmers whose crops are impacted by that flooding.
So the money is there, and that's good. But when you think of insurance, and I'm sure this is how crop insurance must work too, like all other insurance, if you make a claim and get a payout, that might affect your future premiums, right?
Actually, yes. So, I mean, we've all probably had a story like that. Just anecdotally, for example, my husband had a rock hit his windshield last year. And we were kind of, you know, just debating over that. Like, do we want to pay a deductible, make that claim, and risk having our insurance go up? Or should we just kind of, you know, try to get a good deal somewhere at a glass shop in town and just eat that cost and not have to deal with higher premiums, stuff like that. So the same thing goes for farmers. A producer has something called an annual production yield, which goes into something called their actual production history, or APH. And it uses up to 10 years of historical yields to determine crop insurance guarantees. So when you get those crop insurance payouts, it can affect your future coverage. So the other part of this legislation addresses that.
I've included legislation, which would be number 18 when we get it passed, that says those years will not count in these farmers' annual production history, meaning that that doesn't, in essence, go into their track record. Otherwise, they would have to pay more premium in order to get the same level of coverage. They would be penalized every year where they're impacted.
Well, sounds pretty good to me, except for the part, I guess, that the farm bill, surprise, surprise, has not yet been passed.
Yeah, it's 3 years late. So I did ask Senator Hoeven about that, too, about, you know, how do you feel about the possibility of getting this farm bill finished and soon? He says he's optimistic and he feels pretty good about it. He's like, you know, we got to get everybody to work together, especially work across the aisle. Compromise needs to get into the House version. So that sort of work is going on federally at this point with the flood control project. One other thing I wanted to make sure that we highlight as well with this issue is, you know, some of the local work that's happening in the event of a flood. Fargo Mayor Josh Boucher talked about that at the news conference, too. He says there are two local committees that are assigned to this.
The first of all is the crop loss program, which about a month ago we set up, and we'll be putting together a team to monitor the investment of that $25 million so we make sure that it continues to produce to be available for when an incident or when we decide to activate the diversion. And then the second is the Land Management Committee, which is looking at the Debris Removal and Restoration Subcommittee, which this will ensure that if something happens, we're making plans now that we're able to quickly remove debris, make sure that your land that's been impacted is able to be cleared as quickly as possible and have plans and contingencies in place so that we're not figuring out as we go, but we have plans in place well ahead of the operation of the diversion.
Well, there's just so much to consider with a project of this size, this magnitude, more than just the cost and the design, but so many other questions along the way. It really sounds like they're trying to be as thorough as they can, and even though it will be ready to go next spring, hopefully it's not something we have to rely on very often.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But yeah, for those of us who were here in 2009, it is really a great relief to know that this will be here if we need it. It's been such a long time coming. And since it has been so dry, you know, and a milder winter is probably what we're looking at here this year, it's not likely we will be in dire need of the diversion next spring, but it will be here when we do need it.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I saw a YouTube video, maybe you saw it too, that some content creator influencer out there did on the diversion and just the amount of bridges. I forget, it was in the teens that were built around the FM area. Just that alone, I mean, it's a big project just to build one bridge over any body of water, but just the deepening of this channel and then all these bridges, it's incredible the amount of work.
All the dirt that they had to move.
All the dirt, yeah. And it's just like, wow, what a project. And like you said, it's sort of out of sight, out of mind because it's going around the city and not very populated places that you could see. It's just only when you head out of town and you cross over a bridge, you're like, oh, I guess they're making some progress on this. And it is about done in Fargo, like our big city neighbors to the way north, Winnipeg, will have protection year-round from the mighty Red River of the North. Thanks for that, Danielle. What else is going on in Z Newsroom this week?
Well, next month, North Dakota's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is updating which items can be purchased with EBT cards. It's aiming at helping people make healthier choices. We've alluded to this a little already this episode, but yesterday, Governor Armstrong declared a drought disaster in the state, activating an emergency response plan.
Personally, I think if you pay your debt to society and you serve your sentence, you should be let out.
And there is a special session of the legislature coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot of issues being discussed during that. One story that's been really big, you know, related to that was one lawmaker, Senator Megram, was proposing that two federal inmates serving life in prison for the deaths of two U.S. Marshals back in 1983 be given clemency. But that proposal was defeated during a meeting of legislative management this week.
Yeah, and I would guess pretty unanimously.
Yes.
Looking at that on the surface, I didn't think it would probably get very far, and
yeah,
I guess it has not. So lots going on in North Dakota, and we'll be keeping our eyes on that with the weeks and days to come. What's left of the summer anyway? Thanks to you guys on the news team for staying on top of everything.
You bet. So be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that's all, folks, for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.